Song of Solomon. Verse 5.
I'm sorry, chapter 5. Verse 2. Are y'all there? Do you have it?
Got it? Who else? Who's waiting? Who's waiting? Anybody else got it? Anybody else got it? Anybody got it? Anybody got it?
Okay. All right, so I'm going to read it out of the NIV. I'm going to read verse 1 and then we'll go through. It says, verse 1 says, I have come into my garden, my sister, my bride. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb and my honey. I have drunk my wine and my milk. Eat, friends, and drink. Drink your fill of love. It says she. This is now her responding to her lover. It says, I slept, but my heart was awake. Listen, my beloved is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my flawless one. My head is drenched with dew. My hair with the dampness of the night. I have taken off my robe. Must I put it on again? I have washed my feet. Must I soil them again? My beloved thrust his hand through the latch opening. My heart began to pound for him. I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with flowing myrrh. On the handles of the bolt, I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had left. He was gone. My heart sank at his departure. I looked for him, but did not find him. I called him, but did not answer. He did not answer. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. They beat me. They bruised me. They took away my cloak, those watchmen of the walls. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, if you find my beloved, what will you tell him? Tell him, I am faint with love. When I begin to read this, I want you to put your attention when he says, on verse 6, says, I open for my beloved, but my beloved had left. He was gone. See, many are talking about how we need an awakening, and I know that to be true. We need an awakening in the church. But if you look at the signs of the time that we're in, many of the body of Christ are beginning to awaken, but they're not getting prepared. How many, when you wake up, do you wake up, spring out of bed and take off? Or does it take you a while just to get up? It takes you a while to kind of gather yourself so that you can begin your day. And I believe that the church is awakening in this hour, but yet they are still slumbering in the bed. And God wants to do a great thing. I think that in my personal opinion, I'm not saying this to be a prophetic word, prophetic statement. If it happens to be, then it'd be an impression that I felt in my heart. I did not hear this from God, but I begin to sense this in my spirit, that the church has awakened, but we haven't got into position. Do you understand? The church is awakening to the senses. The church is awakening to the knocking. The church is awakening to his presence. But are we responding in time by being in position for our lover? And when I begin to read this, I begin to sense that the church has to respond in a greater level. How has the church responded before? The church has responded by what they've experienced before. See, in order for us to be awakened for the things of God, we have to be expecting something new. Something new. Not basing our emotions or our thoughts and our spiritual ears and eyes to what God has done. You're to draw and make the scraps of, and I say scraps just so you have an understanding, to grab of the things that you have come through to make that a memorial. But what happens is, we always look through the past season to see what God is going to do next. God is doing a new thing. A new thing. And we must be awakened for it. We must see the signs. The sons of Issachar understood the signs, the times. And they knew what to do with it. Are we the church that are going to know what to do? Or are we going to be the church that's just awakening after the fact? I encourage you. You are the church. You may be in a season where you're going through something. Put the joy of the Lord on. He is your strength. He's brought you through so much. And if you don't know what to praise Him for, you better start praising Him for your salvation. You better start thanking Him that He spared your life many times over that you don't even know about. See, the praise has left the bride because she slumbered and slumbered to the point that she missed the visitation. There was a door that was closed that didn't allow Him to enter. His hand went through. The church is seeking for the hand of God, but we, the church, need to experience all of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The scripture just read that she had to get up to go to the door to open it. And when she touched the handle of the door, it was full of myrrh. That's the anointing oil, the preparation for where we're going. But myrrh is also used for the embalming liquid of death. Woo! Don't miss this. This may be too deep for some of you. The myrrh is used to embalm the dead bodies for preparation. What he's saying is the church must learn to die of self and die of the things that we desire and put on His desire and desire the things of the kingdom of God. When we begin to reach for the door, watch this. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way that you can enter into heaven. There is no other God. But we are so sleepy and slumbering that we are going to miss the visitation of God. We must arise, stretch forth, and run to open up the door. Because He's been knocking. The Bible says in that very scripture that she opened up to receive Him. She opened her heart. But still the door was closed. How many of us say yes to God, but we only give Him a portion? And we lock the things behind the doors that we don't want Him to touch. Oh yeah, you know what it is. You know what it is. Don't make me list them. Those hurts, those pains that we don't want Him to touch. Your fears, the biggest ones. God wants to stick His hand right through there and say, what you're fearing, put it to rest. Because the more you feed that fear, it becomes your reality. Put it to rest. Let that thing die in your mind. Let it die in your mind. Don't feed it the fear that it has. Don't feed it. But put your faith and trust in Me. Because then you'll see the oil that will flow for you to give you strength. You understand that God wants to do great things amongst His bride? Are we awakening to Him? He is knocking. He's been knocking on the church bride for a long time. I think this time the wind that's blowing in the chambers of the bride is so strong, it cannot be denied. See, we have to have the understanding about the bride. The bride of Christ still must be prepared. The groom is not being prepared. The groom has been ready. Has been emptied of himself to be filled of the Father. So he's ready. The bride must be emptied of herself to be filled of the Father, to be made ready. This is how you'll know that the soon coming King is coming. When churches begin to unite. When churches begin to come into unity and not division. Where it's not about my ministry against your ministry. Look at what I did and look what you haven't done. Everybody's still busy jockeying for their position. Jockeying for what they can do. And if they could do it better. All of that is building their own kingdom. It's not a kingdom mindset. We have to see the things that God wants for the church to be. And what I come to realize, traveling over there to Africa, they do the same thing. They have the same issues. See, when my preconceived notion I had the first time I went is, what do I preach to them? They don't have the problems we have. Shoot, devil is alive. They got the same problems we got. Same problems.
division, Jezebel, everything. Why?
Because it's the same bride.
When I finally had that understanding, I said, God, what I suffer, others suffer somewhere down the line. But I know that there's choice in the matter. And I choose to open my heart to be awakened by God to do what He wants me to do. What is obedience? Is doing what is told. How quickly should you do it? Immediately. In what frame of mind or how should you do it? With a cheerful heart. That's what obedience is. See, we think obedience has been a preconceived notion that it came from the church a long time ago. You do as you're told. Well, when you're doing as you're told, let me talk to these youth in here. Let me talk to these youth. Mama tell you to go to bed at 7 o'clock. What you going to do? But I'm not tired. Why so early? You know what the Bible says about you honor your mother and your father. What does it say after that? So that you live long. Doesn't it say that? Isn't God saying, you know what? You better listen to your mother and your father, because I didn't listen to my mom and dad either, Jesus. And I got lost. Well, the parents got lost. I knew where I was at. But I believe that mama was old-fashioned. I think Maria. Came and got Jesus by the ear. You may be the son of God, but right now you're my son. See what I mean? So he says, you know what? I'm going to make sure that that's in the Bible. We got to honor our parents, right? So we have long life in the land that God has given us. That's what the Bible says. Now watch this. Now watch. If we're to obey our parents, should we not obey our heavenly Father? When? Immediately. Not delayed. Well, let me pray about it. Is it? So that we can have long life in the land that God has promised us. What does the land mean? His promises. So I said, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'm going. Whatever you want me to do, I'm doing. Whatever my struggle is to get there, it's because you've ordained it. Don't get it twisted. He says the storms of life will come. He didn't say if, may, they will come. Then he says, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer if trouble comes, for I have overcome the world. But see, the problem is we're not of good cheer. We want everybody to know we're going through something. I know I'm a leader, but I don't want to sit in the front row. Talking about the ones that sit in the front? Talking about the ones that sit back there in the back, too. Yeah, the ones that always... you think God didn't see that?
I know.
And we're in the house of God. Let God come down here and say, put your phone away. How many of you would, well, it's just a phone. But wait, I'm expecting a very important call. Or I have to put this Snapchat. Oh, this is close to home. Close to home. Yeah, that's why I said Snapchat. That's the younger generation, they'll tell you. What if God comes in? He looks at the leaders.
Say, weren't you asked by the one that I've appointed to be over you as a leader to do something?
Woo-hoo. Oh, it shifted now. Y'all didn't like that one. It shifted and y'all didn't like it. If leadership asks you to do something, guess who is really saying for you to do it? This is what he says. I have appointed leaders and shepherds over you so that you could be growing. But then we see people getting all mad. Well, that's not my calling. I'm not anointed to do that. Ooh. I said, you need to help me. I got some darts. There you go, sir. There you go, sir. I praise God, my way. You don't tell me how to praise God. You and your rebellious attitude need to learn how to respect authority. Because if you don't respect authority, all the noise you're making is just for you to be heard. And what does it do? It deafens you from God's voice. What is God saying? I have come, I've been knocking, and the bride is not ready. She's awakening, but she's delayed. She delayed. And delayed obedience is disobedience. If God told you to do something, and you put in a disclaimer, God, I'll do it, but it's got to be within these parameters. Is that obedience? No, that's disobedience. I'll give you an example. I'm going to give one for the children first, and I'm going to give it for leaders. Children, I want you to go and clean your room, do your laundry. Right? Say it again, man. I didn't hear you.
How many times do we have to tell them?
Okay, thank you, thank you. So if God has to, I mean, if we have to repeat that again, how angry do you get?
Angry.
I know. The lion is going to roar. But when we as adults are told by God to be obedient and to do what is asked within where I've placed you, and you do not do it and do it in the spirit of excellence, how does God get it? Well, we don't have an answer. Oh, he gets mad. He's not a dog. No, he's like, oh, I got you. Oh, Sylvia, I got you. Woo-hoo. I know, Sylvia, you want things your way, huh? Like Burger King. That's all right. Have it your way. I'm going to send a whole box of napkins with you because you're about to make a mess. But go ahead and do it your way. Do it your way. You'll be back in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks. You'll be crying at my feet. Do you see me? Do you want God to discipline you that way? No? Because when God does it, it hurts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My mom, 5'2", or 5 now. She'll tell you. She'll tell you. I used to be 5'2", but now I'm 5. Yeah, I can't whoop you like I used to whoop you. Mom, you don't even have. You raise your hand at me, I'm done. I'm done. Crying because I disappointed you. Crying because I hurt your feelings. Crying because I made you have to raise your hand at the one that you love the most. That hurt. That's hurtful. But yet we as adults, we do that to God. We make him raise his hand of correction
and we're his children that he died for. He's trying to get us into position, but we don't like it. And so we rebel against God. And you get mad at ministry. You get mad at having to do what God has created you to do. I don't want to go downtown and do outreach. Come on, girl. Come on, I'm trying to help you get some folks out here to help you out in the ministry. Because it shouldn't just be you and your children doing it. It should be the church always doing it. Being willing to be out there to help and do for the city that needs to have people bring the good news. You see, the thing is, when we're told, hey, we're going to go do something, it don't fit my schedule. Did we really put God first, or did we put him on the back burner? I'm happy, guys. I'm happy. I'm just trying to tell you that we, the bride, we need to wake up and get going, not wake up and delay. Because God is in the process of doing something that's very different and very big. Very big. You're in a transition again. I don't know what it is, but you're in it right now. Sorry, you're in another transition. You're in ambiguity right now, trying to figure out which one to go to, what to do. Beloved, I'm going to speak to your spirit man and hear this and hear it right. Do what God has called you to do. Not what you think you should do, but what God has called you to do. If you plant yourself with the roots deep in the soil of God, you'll see the fruit come forth. I haven't talked to you. I don't know anything that's going on in your life. Hear my heart with the love that I share this with you. Plant yourself somewhere so that he can bring the fruitfulness that you desire and that you deserve. You're a voice of encouragement to a lot of people. You are. He needs to encourage many to do it. I, for some reason, I just started hearing this, is that you do want to do more outreaches in the city. You do want to do more. God's going to find the ways that you can do it. I believe this by faith. The plant is coming and rooting is coming very soon. But the fruitfulness is going to happen very quickly. Very quickly. I see you in ambiguity right now, in that transition. God, it's like that question mark. What do I do? God's got you. No, he's got you. Know that. Amen. See, we have to go through these things so that we understand, God, I don't want to disrespect you. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want your hand to be lifted up to discipline me. Because of my, I'm not even talking to sin. I'm talking about when he speaks to us, we don't listen. Without getting all religious and telling you about your sin, here's what the Bible says. If God looks down on sin and he looks at the blood, because every sin is under the blood. He sees his son's blood, so he doesn't judge it. There's repercussions for your sin, for your actions. You're going to pay for them. But what God wants to do is get you to a place that you can grow in him, in the knowledge of him, the knowledge of his kingdom, the knowledge of what he has for you. That's what he wants. But it's when we don't want to listen to him, when we disobey, we continue to go further and further away. And that's why we delay in the response that he has. When he's saying, come unto me, we begin to say, well, I'm not sure if that was God. We need to make sure. For those of you that have been wandering, trying to figure out what to do, get back to where God has told you to be. That's what you need to do first. How do you get back to where God has told you to be? By repenting. Lord, I stepped away from where I was supposed to be. What I was supposed to be doing. Forgive me. And mean it. Help me, God, to walk out that path. When you do that, in that repentance, you get put back right on the path. Not down the road, but right back where you were at, so that you continue to move forward. Amen. Many will be led astray by all these wonderful words, wonderful ministries, signs and wonders. If that's not where God wants you, you better get quickly back to where God called you to be. I'll tell you this right now.
A shepherd is a shepherd to his flock, not somebody else's flock. And I'm going to say it again. A shepherd is a shepherd to his flock, not somebody else's flock. And if you so happen to wander into somebody else's flock, guess what happens? The goats are designed to weed you out. And you want to blame the devil and blame it was Jezebel? You didn't belong there to begin with. I don't know who this is for. I'm happy. Very happy. Why am I happy? I'm in a season right now that I can't see what's ahead of me, but my spirit can sense it. Something is about to take place, and I'm going to move by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, not by what my eyes see, not by what my mind tells me, but what my spirit says for me to do. The Spirit of God will not lie to you. Man will lie to you. You will lie to you, and the devil will lie to you. But God will lead you by the Spirit of God into all truth, and you will reach to the door, and it shall be open to you. You got to let go of some things that are going to keep you away from His blessings. Woo! Look. I tell you, I study. I got a question today that was asked of me. How long does it take you to prepare a sermon? So I told the gentleman on Skype, I said, usually about 3 days. The first day, chewing on it. I didn't give the explanation to the man, but I was just telling him, it takes about 3 days. Chew on it a little bit and think about it. Second day, I start kind of searching it out. But by the third day, if it's really God, it's all over me. So I want you to read the green lettering that's at the top right there.
Say it again. Warning sign.
Message it was going to be tonight. There are warning signs, but are we listening to them? Are we paying attention? How many of you have a driver's license? Raise your hand. You had to take a test, didn't you? One of those tests was to understand the signs while on the road. So Sunday, I'll be talking about this, so it may be empty in here. I don't know. Warning signs. Now, we talked last Sunday about flash flood warning. The banks of the Jordan are flooding. And then they have barricades. Don't cross the flood. You know, here in San Antonio, low water crossings. They put barricades, and that's what the Lord began to give me. Begin to give me this. He says, do we see the signs and go around them and not pay attention? And then we get mad at God because we're in a situation that we put ourselves in and we're expecting Him to get us out. And then we get so mad because He doesn't take us out right away. We drove around that barricade right away so that nobody would see us. But the water came rushing. So the warning signs is that I believe that the church, the body of Christ, needs to adhere to. We need to pay attention to what God is saying. You know, I said this in Kenya, and Popo can attest this. We ain't playing church. We're demonstrating kingdom. Amen? When somebody looks at you, are they seeing Christ or are they seeing the devil? What fruit? Because there's two types of fruit. Many different fruit, but two types. Fruit of God. Fruit of the enemy. Which one are they seeing? We can't go on and thinking that God's going to bless us, but we're not listening to the signs. We have to be ready and prepared. So when I saw that sign in the office, the hallway, I said, God, that's us. We're the bride that's asleep, that had been awakened, heard the knocking, but responded too late. I don't want to be that. I want to be the church that hears Him coming with expectancy and run to meet Him at the door. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Here I am, Lord. I am your willing vessel. Speak. You said that's where we should be. Will you have hindrances along the way? Yes. Every step of the way you move. But you've got to continue to move forward. Be expecting him to do something. He's calling on you. He is. You're not here on this earth by accident. You're here on purpose. Don't take it to the grave. With your purpose, your gifts, and your treasures being buried. And they do not come back for others. Sorry to say. They get buried. Because purpose was not fulfilled. Don't be that church. Amen. As you guys are handing out the envelopes for tithes and offering, I want you to reflect back on all the victories that God has brought you through. He gave them to you. So the season that you may be in or the season that you just came out of, there's victories. So that the season or the trial that will come, know that he's got you because he had you on the last one. That's what you're going to draw on. Amen. God is a God of order. The church must be in order so that we can see the fruitfulness of God. This is a season of double blessing. This is that year of double blessing. It's Jubilee. Okay? And we can all claim Jubilee. But it requires us to be responsible and to react to what he says for us to do. And that's all part of his plan. And I want to be exactly where he wants me to be. Amen? How many of you want that? You want to be exactly where he wants you to be. Because if he has you to be blessed in a certain region, but you went off to another region, is that blessing waiting for you there? No, that blessing is waiting for you where he ordained the blessing to be. Don't get out of position. You'll miss the blessing. Get back into position. Amen. As you're preparing your offering and your tithes, just write on there, obedience. Obedience. Your seed that you put in the ground, always name it. What is it purposing to do? My seed is for my obedience. And in my obedience, I'm looking to receive what God has for me. If you guys need to do PayPal, you can do PayPal in the back. They can help you with that.